Welcome to Without Regret. Be more, see more, achieve more that really matters. Lesson 15. Faith Sticky Notes for Living Without Regret. A bigger picture. Living without regret requires trust that I have been created for a purpose that is bigger than my circumstances and even myself. I believe God has a purpose for me. It's the purpose for which I was created and is a perfect fit for me. When I live in alignment with this purpose, I experience fulfillment, joy, abundance, and meaning. Pursuing another plan is like wearing shoes that don't fit. The journey is long, painful, and filled with feelings of regret. When I am moving in line with this purpose, I create a zone of freedom in which I can choose from a variety of options, and God is okay with what I choose. Sometimes my choices work out well, and sometimes not as well. Sometimes events happen that are out of my control. When the consequences are unpleasant, God takes them and fashions them for a good outcome. He is continually at work, using life experiences, pleasant and unpleasant, as tools to teach me and make me more like His Son, Jesus Christ. In the difficult circumstances of life, I find great hope in my belief that God is with me, always pursuing me as a partner in His enterprise, teaching me and using all things to help me be more like what He wants me to be. This is a part of my belief system, the way I make sense of life, and it gives me a plan for living without regret. Uniquely made. If another scientific discovery was never made, the variety of God's creations is already beyond comprehension. Yet, scientists are discovering new species of life and more about known species all the time. Many of these discoveries reveal jaw-dropping beauty, value to the environment, and uniqueness across species and among species. The human brain is also beyond imagination. The brain has about 128 billion individual neurons. A single neuron connects to thousands of other neurons, yielding more than 500 trillion neuron-to-neuron connections. There are more potential connections between neurons than there are atoms in the universe. These connections can be different for every person depending on their nature and how they were nurtured. Think about what this means about the number of possibilities for uniqueness we have. All these discoveries and potential for differences further convince me that God created me uniquely. I am fearfully and wonderfully made to fulfill His calling to be exactly as I am. Managing the unique. I believe God owns it all. Time, money, material objects, talents, giftedness, skills, the air we breathe, the beats of our hearts. We have no resources of our own. God entrusts me with the management of certain things, some unique to me, and I am a caretaker. He expects me to manage His things in ways that honor Him and achieve His purposes, and I get to enjoy them in the process. God entrusts more to some than to others, but all are equally responsible for the care of that which is entrusted to them. When I view my unique strengths, giftedness, abilities, and relationships as belonging to God, it makes all the difference in how I care for them and use them. Because no one is exactly like me, no one else can make the contribution I can make. There are roles and responsibilities that only my unique self can fulfill. If I don't fulfill these with integrity, they won't get done to the fullness of their potential. No one can make the exact contribution you can make as your unique self. Our unique contributions are needed in this world. What's yours? My values, vocation, mission statement, and vision. God's call to each of us is that we be representatives and reflections of Christ in this world in the totality of our being and doing. This is the calling I have accepted. Some accept it, and some do not. Though Christians have one vocation, they may have many occupations, with clergy being one among many. All Christians have equal responsibility for living out this common vocation. I've determined that my top personal values are my relationship to God, family, learning, excellence, and influence or impact. My personal mission statement, which grows out of my sense of vocation and my values, currently reads like this. I believe I am here to glorify God and express my love for Him and others through consistent personal growth in Christ-likeness and facilitating the personal growth in Christ-likeness of others, especially leaders, to the degree that they become consistently multiplying leaders in God's kingdom. I will do this by living in a way that reflects Christ and exemplifies the process of continuing learning and multiplying as a Christian leader. I will lovingly invest in the lives of others, assisting them to develop to the fullness of their potential. I will exercise excellence in administration, leadership, effective communication, coaching, mentoring, and preparation and delivery of formal teaching and training. I will do all that is possible so far as it concerns me to develop and maintain healthy relationships, and will creatively, proactively address interpersonal problems and conflicts as they may surface. This all begins with my home and family. And here's my definition of vision from my faith perspective. A vision is a goal or dream given by God that is so big only He can make it happen. A vision smaller than this represents something I can do on my own without God's work, and as such, is not of faith. My vision for my life is that when I reach the end, there will be a mass of people of all races and ethnicities, as far as the eye can see, in all directions, children, adults, rich, poor, privileged, disadvantaged, powerful, oppressed, capable, disabled, in time and eternity, whose lives have been positively affected by Christ through me. I won't know them all because those directly touched by me multiplied exponentially. Love is the rule. My relationships with others are guided by the law of love. The greatest commandment, as defined by Jesus, involves loving God, loving others, and loving self. The word for this love in the original language of the New Testament is agape. In classical Greek, this word primarily referred to honor given to another person. A brief but profound summary of Jesus Christ's actions, not emotions, in Philippians 2:5-11 illustrates the redefinition of love. Love is not impulsive feelings or necessarily a natural inclination. Love is not motivated by whether or not the object deserves it. Love seeks the opportunity to do good to all, and love is a deliberate choice which may be expressed in maximum measure through sacrifice. I'm Michael Godfrey. Thanks for listening.